When, I know it's going on there, don't worry. When I was in theological college, in the first set of lectures, we had lecturers from the different denominations come and teach us, and our Anglican lecturer was a tall, thin, rather hairless streak of misery, who looked at us over his glasses and showed the one sense of humour I got out of him in 3 years. He looked at us and he said, "The Sunday after Pentecost is the most fraught Sunday in the church year." And he'd know it. He's the Anglican in charge of theological discipline. He goes, "The Sunday after Pentecost is the danger Sunday. So call the sickie, have a holiday, even better, put on a conference and invite all your mates along, get a lay preacher in, they'll all love you. Just avoid preaching on Trinity Sunday." And it is because we have here a mathematical impossibility. Can we put the sign up? 1 + 1 + 1 = 3 with a question mark. This odd concept, because it never appears in Scripture. There are hints of it in Scripture, but we are trying to work this all out. Last year, last year, Anita and I went to the Gravity Discovery Centre in Gingin in Western Australia. Now, we all know gravity's been there a while, but it's actually about the more esoteric aspects. We went there for an Indigenous Astronomy Day, but they have, because they've got an observatory there too, but it was actually the 100th anniversary of one of an experiment predicted by Einstein got performed at 80 Mile Beach in Western Australia. One of his predictions was proven true. West Australia was the centenary of that. And they had a guest lecturer from England over called Paul Davies. And I just geeked out because Paul Davies wrote the book The Mind of God. And in that he mixes science and theology and says, to have a being that can understand the workings of the universe within a universe is so improbable that the universe had to be created for that being to exist. Because when you think about it, we are trying. So he actually argues that the universe wants to be known. And of course, when we read that as Christians, we say that God wants to be known, has given us the ability to use this. It's about 2 kilos of fatty water to try to understand the mysteries of life. And then we apply it to our scriptures and we try to understand God. And we've got to have a fair idea of our limitations in this as well. Because in scripture we do have, and I challenge you to find any other occasions of Father, Son and Holy Spirit than those two. They appear 2 times. But then we have Jesus going, "The Father and I are one." We have references to the Spirit of God, and as one of the scholars I read pointed out this week, there are other aspects of God that get referred to in the scripture as well, not just the three. But we focus on these three. Last week we looked at that story of how the Spirit was in God's work all the way up until and beyond Pentecost. That was because I was trying to avoid the heresy. 1 + 1 + 1 = 1 because if we believe in the God of the Old Testament, the God that Jesus called Father, that God in the start of the Ten Commandments says, "I am one." What's going on here where we're talking about Father, Son and Holy Spirit and saying one? So we've had all sorts of things in the first 100 years. You think we've got arguments in our church now. The first 100 years of the church's existence was essentially trying to deal with that. So I'm going to try to tell you some of those debates in the next few minutes using some simple illustrations. Okay, apples fruit, pears fruit, oranges fruit. They're all fruit. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Homoousion, homoousius, if you want to get into the Greek. Big argument. Believe it or not, St. Nicholas is most famous for being on the winning side of this one, not for being Santa Claus. Go back, please. But when we think about that, that's not really one, is it? And that's essentially saying we worship three gods. And that didn't fit that criterion that we worship one God. And Jesus said, Father and I are one. I pray that you are one, just as we are one. So that one didn't work. So then we moved on to knife, fork, spoon. Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. Other one is the masks of God. Or I am simultaneously your minister, Anita's husband, and our dog's walker. Now, I behave very differently when I'm in those three roles. So much so that someone from the outside might think I'm three different people. Some people get mildly surprised when they spot me doing one of the other two roles. Yes, I do walk dogs. Yes, I do have coffee. I can be seen at the shops. But again, that doesn't meet that one, does it? It doesn't meet that oneness, that because it just did not, it's not just the one figure, because Jesus is praying to the Father. So there's that distinctiveness as well. Then we have, when I grew up, there was a little band called Powderfinger that were performing at the University of Queensland. It got a bit bigger after my time there. But the three albums. So they're the same band, but, you know, if you follow a band that's got decent longevity, they have their musical periods, don't they? Or if you follow the composers, they get into this trend, then they get that trend and that trend. So some people read it and went, oh yes, we had the era of God the Father, fire, brimstone, nasty, big creator, big power, big difference. And then you have Jesus intimate walking among us. Then you have Holy Spirit. But again, that's not, how does Jesus pray to himself? So the one that's generally come to the most, trying to tie it all together, is three bodies in motion. Almost like the three juggling balls here. When they're in motion, can you tell the difference between them? It's really hard, isn't it? We believe that God, and we don't understand how this works. God is one. But when we try to describe what God is doing, you have to actually describe a team effort every time you're doing it to make it make sense. You can't. Even the creation, you have the story of in creation, in it was the Word of God that brought, which is Jesus, brought creation into being. The Spirit hovered over the waters. The Creator was there. When we believe, we come to faith. We come to faith in God through the work of Jesus Christ, convinced by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's three things working. We can go here now. The other classic illustration of that is three, you know, the Greek dancers, three people dancing at once. And they're moving together, they're in harmony, they're in one. What do we take out of this? Firstly, mystery. We are trying to understand Creator of the universe with what's between this little bit of our body here. Let's have a little bit of humility. We might be wrong. We are invited to be surprised by God. God does not fit within our individual capacity. That we so want God to be predictable so that we can predict God and make God do what we want God to do. God's a bit beyond that. God's actually so far beyond that, I don't know why I even just said that. But it's what we want, isn't it? We really want a predictable God who does what we want God to do. God is beyond that. God breaks out of that mold, and thanks be to God for that, because grace, the grace we've received, is something that's so far beyond human understandings of justice and rightness that it isn't funny. We believe, so we're invited to allow ourselves to be surprised by God. The other one is, can we go back to the little gif? I actually like this. No, the next one, the people in the circle. I actually like this image because not as much for what's going on with the 30 or so people in the middle there that are dancing, but look what's going on the outside. That God is at work. We believe God is one in purpose, in love, in plan for humanity. God works together to bring about the kingdom of God. God's wholeness coming to humanity, to individuals and to all of creation. This ongoing work unfolding through history of these three persons of the Trinity working together, dancing. Perhaps we should have sung Lord of the Dance today, but I always choose the hymns well before I write the sermon. But I love this picture for what's going on in the background. What's going on in the background? There's people. We may not be up to the dance. What happens once you start clapping on? The knees start to go. Foot starts to tap. And next thing you know, you're in the dance. That's what it's like with God. As we grow with God as disciples, it is not just a in or out situation. As we grow with God, we are learning the dance. And we are freed to participate in God's dance of life for our world. Every time we seek God, every time we pray, every time we reach out to God, every time we learn a bit more about God, we're getting our dancing shoes on. I'm a horrible dancer, so lucky it doesn't depend on my ability for that as well. Because not maths and dancing. Oh. But I pray that we're encouraged. That we're encouraged that we don't have to get this on. Doesn't all have to make sense with us. But that we're invited to join God in God's unfolding work for our world. And that's the joy. And I pray that as we grow, we become better and better dancers, and that our dance, our lives, reflects that love of God, that wholeness of God for our community and our world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.